a definitive focus scientifically on finding the cure for cancer, for heart disease, for diabetes, and for Alzheimer's, a disease alone that will cost us $1.1 trillion by the year 2050.
Thank you, Governor.
We changed the economy and the country.
We have to take another quick break. Coming up, Ronald Reagan looming large over this debate. So how Reagan-esque exactly are these Republicans? We will find out next.
There's a swimsuit coming. It's raining out here. It's totally raining.
Neither rain nor snow.
What?
Nor frosty. Nor 40th Street night.
Always got to be careful. First rain in a long time dredges up all the oil and shit on the road. Be a little extra slick. Minutes to Petaluma. Okay. All right. That's reasonable.
Introducing the Dish 2-year TV price lock. Get 190 channels in the award-winning Hopper HD DVR for just $49.99 every month for 2 years. Call 1-800-CALL-DISH. All those hidden monthly fees others charge? With Dish's 2-year price lock, there are none. How do we do it? Get the 2-year TV price lock from Dish and pay one price for 2 years with no hidden
Dish is how we do it.
That means no local channels fee, no regional sports fee, no HD programming fee, no DVR fee, and no first TV monthly fee.
Senator Paul, I'm going to start with you, and we're just going to go down the line. Earlier this year, the Treasury Department announced that a woman will appear on the $10 bill. What woman would you like to see on the $10 bill?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I'm big on that we were, and I love what Carly said about women's suffrage. I think Susan B. Anthony might be a good choice.
Governor Huckabee.
That's an easy one. I'd put my wife on there. I've been married to her 41 years. She's fought cancer and lived through it. She's raised 3 kids, 5 great-grandkids, and she's put up with me. I mean, who else could possibly be on that money other than my wife? And then that way she could spend her own money in her face.
Senator Paul? No. Senator Rubio? I'm sorry, Senator Rubio. I'm sorry.
I know we all look alike.
Just the senators. The Rosa Parks. An everyday American that changed the course of this. Senator Cruz.
Well, I wouldn't change the $10 bill. I'd change the $20. I'd take Jackson off, and I'd leave Alexander Hamilton right where he is as one of our founding fathers. And I very much agree with Marco that it should be Rosa Parks. She was a principled pioneer that helped change this country, helped remedy racial injustice, and that would be an honor that would be entirely appropriate.
Dr. Carson.
I put my mother on there. You know, she was one of 24 children, got married at age 13, had only a third grade education, had to raise 2 sons by herself, refused to be a victim, wouldn't let us be victims, and has been an inspiration for many people.
drunk?
Well, because she's been sitting for 3 hours, I think my daughter Ivanka was right here. Other than that, we'll go with Rosa Parks. I like that.
Governor Bush.
I would go with Ronald Reagan's partner, Margaret Thatcher. Probably illegal, but what the heck? Since it's not going to happen. A strong leader is what we need in the White House, and she certainly was a strong leader that restored the United Kingdom to greatness. Governor Walker. Huh.
First of all, I got to say to Kirsten Huckabee, thanks a lot for making the rest of us look like chumps up here. But I put Claire Martin. I once worked for the American Red Cross. She was a great founder of the Red Cross.
Ms. Fiorina.
I wouldn't change the $10 bill or the $20 bill. I think, honestly, it's a gesture. I don't think it helps to change our history. What I would think is that we ought to recognize that women are not a special interest group. Women are the majority of this nation. We are half the potential of this nation, and this nation will be better off when every woman has the opportunity to live the life she chooses.
Governor Kasich.
That's probably not maybe legal, but I would pick Mother Teresa, the lady that I had a chance to meet, a woman who lived a life so much bigger than her own, an inspiration to everyone when we think about our responsibility to love our neighbor as we love ourselves.
Governor Christie.
I think the Adams family has been shorted in the currency business. Our country wouldn't be here without John Adams, and he would not have been able to do it without Abigail Adams, so I put Abigail Adams on the bill.
All right. Some good entries if anybody at the Mint was listening. Here's the next lighthearted question. You all know that the United States Secret Service uses code names for the president and his family. Ronald Reagan's code name, for example, was Rawhide, an homage to his performances in Westerns. Nancy Reagan's was Rainbow. You don't have to come up with the one for your spouse, but what would you want, Governor Christie, I'll start with you, your Secret Service code name to be?
You know, I've been called a lot of names by a lot of different people, and now I got to get called by names by the Secret Service. I would just say True Heart.
Well, I have one now. It was my detail. They called me Unit 1. My wife says, you'll never be Unit 1. I'm Unit 1. You're Unit 2.
Secretariat.
Governor Walker.
Harley. I love riding Harleys.
Ever ready. It's very high energy, Donald.
Oh, shit! We got jokes!
Humble.
That's a good one.
Dr. Carson?
One Nation.
Senator Cruz?
You know, as a Cuban, I might go with Cohiba. And I'll tell you, I'd go with, for Heidi, Angel, because she is my angel.
Senator Rubio?
Well, there's some people in Florida upset at me over a joke I made about Florida State, but what the heck, I want my code name to be Gator.
Governor Huckabee?
I'd go with Duck Hunter.
Senator Paul?
Justice never sleeps.
That's
a mouthful, but okay.
You fucking
okay,
people,
here's a more serious question. Ronald Reagan, the 40th president, used the plane behind you to accomplish a great many things. Perhaps most notably, to challenge Mikhail Gorbachev to tear down the wall, and then ultimately to make peace with the USSR. How will the world look different once your Air Force One is parked in the hangar of your presidential library? Senator Paul.
You know, I met Ronald Reagan as a teenager, and my family were big supporters of him when he ran against Gerald Ford. It was a big deal because he was the grassroots running against the establishment. And I'll never forget that. And how we stood up and said, you know what, this is something new that our country needs, that our party needs. If I were president, I would try to be one who says, you know what, I'm a Reagan conservative. I'm someone who believes in peace through strength. And I would try to lead the country in that way, knowing that our goal is peace, and that war is the last resort, not the first resort. And then when we go to war in a constitutional way, which means that we have to vote on it, that war is initiated by Congress, not by the president, that we go to war reluctantly. But then when we go to war, we don't fight with one arm tied behind our back. We fight all out to win, but then we come home.
At
the end of my presidency, I would like to believe that the world would be a safe place, and there wouldn't be the threats
not only to the U.S., but to Israel and our allies, because we would have the most incredible, well-trained, well-equipped, well-prepared military in the history of mankind. And they would know that a commander-in-chief would never send them to a mission without all the resources necessary. But people wouldn't bully us anymore, because they would know that that would be an invitation to their destruction. Domestically, we'd be operating under a tax system that eliminated the IRS. People wouldn't be punished for their work and for what they produced. And life would be really deemed precious. Abortion would be no more. It would be as much of a scourge in our past as slavery is. And we'd have a peaceful country where people respected each other and people respected law enforcement. And we would focus on cures. And we would make this country not only safe from our enemies without, but safe from the enemies within. And it would be a good place to raise our kids and our grandkids.
One of the things that made Ronald Reagan a great president is that he understood that America was a unique nation, like any other that had existed throughout human history. He knew it was founded on universal principles that were powerful: the dignity of all people, human rights, the rights of all to live in freedom and liberty.
Starting to get emails about the Tokyo Game Show.
He just didn't believe it. He acted on it. That's why bringing down communism was so important.
Dark Souls 3 will be out
in
April.
I'm honored the opportunity to be president. I hope that our Air Force One will fly first and
Project
foremost
Cross Zone 2
in Israel,
will be out in February.
In South Korea and Japan, they know we stand with them, that America can be counted on. It would also fly to China, not just to meet with our enemies, not just to meet with those adversaries of ours that are there, but also to meet with those that aspire to freedom and liberty within China. I would even invite them to our inauguration. We would also fly into Moscow and into Russia, and not just meet with the leaders of Russia, but also meet with those who aspire to freedom and liberty in Russia. And ultimately, I hope that my Air Force One, if I become president, will one day land in a free Cuba, where its people can choose their leaders and its own destiny.
Ronald Reagan believed in America. If I'm elected president, our friends and allies across the globe will know that we stand with them. The bust of Winston Churchill will be back in the Oval Office, and the American Embassy in Israel will be in Jerusalem. Enemies across this world will know the United States is not to be trifled with. ISIS will be defeated. We will have a president willing to utter the words radical Islamic terrorism. And the Ayatollah Khamenei will understand that he will never, ever, ever acquire nuclear weapons. Here at home, we'll reignite the promise of America. Young people coming out of school with student loans up to their eyeballs will find, instead of no jobs, 2, 3, 4, 5 job opportunities. How will that happen? Through tax reform, we'll pass a simple flat tax that abolished the IRS. And through regulatory reform, we will repeal every word of Obamacare. You want to know what I'll do as president? It's real simple. We'll kill the terrorists, we'll repeal Obamacare, and we will defend the Constitution, every single word of it.
Well, you know, I was a radical Democrat before I started listening to Ronald Reagan. And he didn't sound like what they said Republicans were. He sounded logical. And I hope that I sound logical also. Because when I look at what's going on with the United States of America, I see a lot of things that are not logical. I see us allowing people to divide us when, in fact, our strength is in our unity. I see people exercising the most irresponsible fiscal habits that anyone could possibly do and hiding it from the American people so that the majority of people have no idea what our financial situation is. So when someone comes along and says, free college, free phones, free this and that and the other, they say, wow, that's nice, having no idea that they're destabilizing our position. And I think also that Ronald Reagan was a master at understanding that a pinnacle nation has to be a nation that leads. If we learn to lead in the Middle East right now, a coalition will form behind us, but they will never do it if we just sit there and talk about it. Real leadership is what I would hopefully bring to America.
If I become president, we will do something really special. We will make
this country greater than ever before. We'll have more jobs. We'll have more of everything. We were discussing disease. We were
more
discussing
disease.
All sorts of things.
We'll have way more disease.
Many of which will just be words. It'll just pass on. I don't want to say politicians all talk, no action. But a lot of what we talked about is words, and it'll be forgotten very quickly. If I'm president, many of the things that we discussed tonight will not be forgotten. We'll find solutions, and the world will respect us. They will respect us like never before, and it'll be actually a friendlier world. And I have to say, it's a great honor to be here tonight. Good.
6 million more people are living in poverty than the day that Barack Obama got elected president. 6 million more people. The middle class has had declining income. Workforce participation rates are lower than they were in 1977. For the first time in modern history, more businesses are failing than are being created. That is what the next president will have to deal with. And I believe we can reverse course by creating a strategy of high sustained economic growth. Not the new normal of 2% that all the left says we just have to get used to, but a 4% growth strategy where we reform how we tax, fix the broken regulatory system, embrace the energy revolution in our midst, fix the immigration system so we can turn it into an economic driver, deal with the structural fiscal problems that exist because of our entitlement problems that will overwhelm and create way too much debt. If we grow at 4%, people are going to be lifted out of poverty. The great middle that defines our country will have a chance to be able to pursue their dreams as they see fit. That should be the great challenge and the great opportunity for the next president of the United States, to forge consensus, to go back to a high growth strategy, and then we'll be able to lead the world. Without a high growth strategy, our country will never have the resources or the optimism to be able to lead the world, which the world desperately needs our leadership.
Ugh. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I turned 13 years old 2 days before Ronald Reagan was first elected. A lot of people forget this, but just a few days before that election in 1980, he was behind in the polls. And I think what changed things was people in America realized they didn't want to hear what was bad about America. They wanted to know how it was going to be better. Ronald Reagan wasn't just a conservative Republican. He was an eternal optimist in the American people. And I am too. So here's what I think will make America better. We need to live in a world where our children are free from the threats of radical Islamic terrorism. We need to live in America where we have an economy where everyone can live their piece of the American dream, no matter what that dream is. And we need to live in an America where we have a federal government that's not too big, to fail, but ultimately small enough to succeed, where we send powers back to the states and back to the people. That's what I did in Wisconsin. We took on the big government union bosses, the big government special interests, many of whom came in from Washington to spend millions of dollars to try and take me out because we stood up to them. We didn't back down in any of those instances. If you give me the chance as your next president, I won't back down any day, any way, anyhow. I'll fight and win for you and your families every single day I'm in office.
Well, you know something, Wolf Blitzer.
I think what this nation can be and must be is symbolized by Lady Liberty and Lady Justice. Lady Liberty stands tall and strong. She is clear-eyed and resolute. She doesn't shield her eyes from the realities of the world, but she faces outward into the world nevertheless, as we always must. And she holds her torch high because she knows she is a beacon of hope in a very troubled world. And Lady Justice. Lady Justice holds a sword by her side because she is a fighter, a warrior for the values and the principles that have made this nation great. She holds a scale in her other hand. And with that scale, she says, all of us are equal in the eyes of God. And so all of us must be equal in the eyes of the law and the government, powerful and powerless alike. And she wears a blindfold. And with that blindfold, she is saying to us that it must be true, it can be true, that in this country, in this century, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter how you start. It doesn't matter your circumstances. Here in this nation, every American's life must be filled with the possibilities that come from their God-given gifts. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, as president, I will make this a nation that will solve problems. And how? By having the elected officials and leaders realize they're Americans before they're Republicans or Democrats. I did it in Washington, and I've done it in Ohio by having the elected officials realize that they're Ohioans before anything else. Secondly, I will rebuild the relationships and show the respect to our allies around the world. We have no choice but to do that. We will be stronger when we are unified, and we'll fight for freedom and for human
rights.
Wherever
there's trouble.
And finally,
G.I. Joe is there.
A little bit of what Carly said. The people that are out there listening, America was never great because we ran America from the top down. America's great because we've run America from the bottom up, where we all live in the neighborhoods. One more time in America, we need to revive the concept of citizenship, where everybody's actions make a huge difference in changing the world. We have a Holocaust memorial on our state house grounds, and there is one line on there that stands out all the time. If you've saved one life, you've changed the world. We need to adopt that as citizens and rebuild and re-inspire our country. Thank you.
I turned 18 in 1980, and my first vote was for Ronald Reagan. Boy, am I glad I did it. And I think the country is, too. A Christie presidency won't be about me. It'll be about you. Tonight, you sit at home in your living room, frustrated that you play by the rules, you pay the taxes, you do the hard things to raise your family. Yet you feel like America's generosity is being taken advantage of, that your system is being gamed, and that you're turning out to fall further and further behind. Our presidency will be about ending that, about enforcing the law, level the playing field for everybody, and once again reward those folks who play by the rules and think that justice means more than just a word, but it means a way of life. And I will tell you this, around the world, I will not shake hands with, I will not meet with, and I will not agree to anything with a country that says death to us and death to Israel, and holds our hostages while we sign agreements with them. It'll be an America that will be strong and resolute and will once again be able to stick out its chest and say, we truly are the greatest nation in the world because we live our lives that way each and every day.
That concludes this Republican presidential debate. On behalf of everyone here at CNN, we want to thank the candidates, the Reagan Library, and the Republican National Committee. Thank you also to Hugh Hewitt and Dana Bash. The next presidential debate will also be right here on CNN among the Democratic candidates, who will face off for the first time on October the 13th. That debate, a partnership with Facebook, will be moderated by my colleague, Anderson Cooper. And Anderson picks up our coverage of tonight's debate right now. Before I throw to Anderson, let's have one final round of applause for the candidates. Anderson.
Thanks very much. What an evening. Good evening from the spin room as we continue to look at the candidates on the stage. They no doubt will be greeting their families who have been listening very closely there in the Reagan Library. It is not over yet. The candidates still on stage. President Reagan's Air Force One, the backdrop. An incredible exchange over the last 3 hours. We're going to be talking shortly with a number of the candidates tonight as we watch their families start to meet up with them. We're going to talk to as many of the debaters you see now. We'll also be bringing you the high points, the fireworks, fact-checking the talking points, getting some really fascinating real-time audience reaction, breaking it all down for you over the next 2 hours. And if you missed some parts of this debate, we're going to be showing you the key moments throughout this debate. There you see Donald Trump greeting some of his supporters. I'm here in the spin room with Amanda Carpenter, former communications director for Senator Ted Cruz. I'm here also with Jeffrey Lord, who served as White House political director in the Reagan administration. He now supports Donald Trump. Anna Navarro, who supports Jeb Bush and is close friends with Marco Rubio. Chief political analyst, lawyer, Borger, John King, host of CNN's Inside Politics, and David Axelrod, CNN's senior political commentator and former top advisor to President Obama. David Axelrod, just some quick thoughts.
Well, one thought is these people have an iron constitution to be standing there for as long as
they did. Hot up there. There was a lot of sweating. Yeah. 3 hours.
It was. Yeah. It was a gauntlet that they ran up there. Look, I would say one thing is that Carly Fiorina had a great opportunity tonight. I think she took full advantage of it. She's going to move up in the polls as a result of this. Chris Christie was on the verge of falling off the stage, had a very strong night, very strong performance tonight.
Let's listen in, Donald Trump. Chris, go ahead.
Thank you for joining us after speaking to your family. What did they say to you about how you were tonight?
Well, they were very proud and very happy, and it was a beautiful time. I had an amazing time. 3 hours is probably a record-setting long debate. But I guess you're selling a lot of commercials during that because they increased it. I guess it was supposed to be two. But they were very professional the way they handled it. CNN did a very good job.
Well, we agree with you about that. It seemed like it was well run. There was a lot to talk about. Who do you think came out on top with the best ideas for the American people?
Well, I think everybody really did well. There was nobody that did poorly. And I would think really everybody did very well. I was very impressed.
Anybody more than anybody else?
Well, I don't want to say that. I think certain people did really well. I would never say that, of course.
But the arena is getting a lot of good buzz coming out of the debate.
Really, well, I think she's a very nice person. I think that, really, I think everybody did very well, Chris.
Do you feel that you did something differently tonight than you did in the first debate?
No, I think probably the first debate went very well for me also. They both went very well. They're saying very nice things. I mean, I just heard a couple of people come over and say, wow, that was great. So I think, I'm very happy with both performances, actually.
There seemed to have been more discussion amongst the candidates during the breaks and afterwards here in this debate than in the first one.
That's true. Well, we're getting to know each other a little bit, even though it's quite tough and sometimes a little bit nasty. We're getting to know each other, and, you know, you develop relationships. I have a lot of respect for a lot of people on the stage.
What have you learned after tonight?
Well, I've learned that I have no trouble standing for 3 hours, and, literally, it must be a record. I hope that the audience is okay with it, because I actually think it's a little bit too long. But I learned that we have a lot of talent in the Republican Party, and I think we're going to do very well come Election Day.
When you look to your left and look to your right tonight, did you still feel that you stand above those who else would want the job?
Well, I never say that. I would never say that I do. I think I'll do a great job. I think I'll be the greatest jobs producer that there ever has been in this country. I know exactly what to do. That's what I do. CNN did a poll. I was number one in terms of leadership, number one in terms of the economy and jobs. But, and I don't mean number one by a little bit. You know the poll very well, by many times. And I think I would certainly do an unbelievable job of putting the country back to work. And literally, I think people would be extremely happy and extremely proud of our country.
Can you point to anything that you heard tonight where you listened and thought, you know what, I like that idea. I think I'm going to use that.
Well, I think I heard a lot of things, and we'll discuss it in your show at length. Because I have a whole family over here.
You have the process. What do you do next? What do you do now?
Well, I'm getting on the plane. We'll go back to New York. And then I'm going up to New Hampshire tomorrow afternoon. And I'm going to Iowa. I'm going all over the place. We're having a lot of fun. The polls have been amazing. Just amazing. The receptivity has been so incredible. You know, in Dallas, we sold out the Mavericks Arena. We were in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama. We had 31,000 people. The response has been incredible. They like what I'm saying. They agree with what I'm saying.
What does it mean to you have your family in the crowd, your daughter, your
son? Well, it's great. Here they are. I mean, it's just great to have them. And they seem to be so receptive today. I could see they were giving the high five and the high sign.
Well, Ivanka must have liked it when you said you should be on the $10 bill.
That's
that was
right.
High
I liked it. I mean, she sat for a long time tonight. But we had a great time. Everybody had a good time. And I was very impressed with everybody.
So if tomorrow after the pundits discuss and the polls come out and they say Trump was on top, will you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't be. I think I did very well. I think everybody did well, but I think I did very well.
Oh, stop. debates like that are a good reminder that just listening to politicians being politicians is the worst. They just... Normally when we get into the election cycle and, you know, you start seeing candidates and all this stuff, I feel like I've got an idea. You know, I go like, oh, you know, this person seems to be lining up with the way I feel about things right now. This time I just look at the likely front runners and just shake my head. It's like, oh, man, I don't... this. From both parties. From both parties. I was like, oh man, this is what we got? None of these options seem fantastic. Alright, I made it through the rain, I made it home. Everybody have a good night.